on The Weekend Wake-Up. It's time for a taste of the West.
It's 18 past 7, and Sue, it's not often that we get people actually come into the studio to talk about their wares.
I know, taste of the West. It's pretty exciting, and Easter Saturday as well, so we do feel very special, very special.
Welcome to Adam and Marissa Bielewski, who are here from Poach Pear. Great to have you in
here. Hi, guys. Hello. Good to see you.
We were just kind of chatting about what it is that you guys sort of do, and sort of it started with you as a chef. Was that where sort of things began?
Yeah, pretty much. I've been cooking now for over 20 years, and as a chef, local chef from Perth, just growing up in the city, I've seen lots of changes, and then
I bet you have. Well, they have.
No, 20 years in Perth, it has changed a lot, hasn't it?
It's changed a hell of a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the focus, or what's the demand now?
So at the moment, focus is all on local produce and supporting local farmers, local growers,
and in particular, it's charcuterie. So we're talking about kind of, you know, cured sort of small goods and that kind of business. Like, what made you head down there?
Well, a couple of years travelling around Europe. And just taking an interest in different salami. Who doesn't like salami? Well,
that's true. That is true.
But, yeah, it's all about creating good flavours and good tastes within the product and having good local produce. So that's the main thing.
And I'm interested in talking 20 years ago. We'll start off with what actually got you into food in the first place, being a chef? Like, had you had an interest forever? Because at that time there was no cooking shows. There wasn't that interest as we have now. It was like, you want to what?
Unfortunately, I was born into the trade.
that makes the difference, do you think?
Both my parents are in hospitality.
Yeah, okay.
So I basically grew up just like our daughter does now. Grows up in restaurants and just working, or sitting in back of house waiting for mum and dad to finish work.
Yeah.
Like she's in here now.
Exactly. it's all part of the
Part of the process, exactly.
And just taking a total interest in what people were doing behind the scenes was like the one thing I was interested in. My parents tried so hard to convince me not to do
it. Not to do it.
Did they really? Because they know what a tough ride it was.
Absolutely. It's not an easy game. Mm. So, they tried pretty hard to convince me and my brother not to go into it, but he didn't, I did, and the rest is history. So, and I wouldn't look back at all. I love it.
So Poach Pear, that's been going for 6 years, is that right?
Yeah, coming up on 6 years in June this year.
And tell us about your business and business philosophy.
Okay, so our business started 6 years ago. We had a little cafe in Maylands called Pico's Kitchen, where we went out on our own because we wanted to support and make our own produce, but also to support local farmers. And it pretty much all went from there. We created our own charcuterie in-house. And
so what did you start with? Was it ham or was it something?
No, we started with air-dried beef, because it's pretty much the easiest thing to do, like a bresaola. And then we made our own pâté as well.
Right.
And terrines.
How many recipes did you have to try before you actually got it right? Is that what happens?
A lot.
Yeah, was that hard? You might try and go, oh, that's not quite right. And then I'll do something else, and then I've forgotten what I've done last time. Probably the key answer to that is you write it down. But,
as Marissa knows, I'm the worst when it comes to actually keeping all that stuff in order.
Is that your role?
Yeah, keeping him in order. Yeah.
Record-keeping, obviously.
Every time I made something, I'd write it down, and then I'd, adjust it. Go back again, adjust it until I had it down pat. But it wasn't so much making it in the smaller amounts.
Yeah.
When we first started, it was making it in the larger amounts is what we do now. So it's making sure we have the consistency. So
that must be tough. What sort of sized kitchen do you work in?
It's about 60 square metres. So
and that's just sort of like in the scheme of sort of at the back of a cafe versus your home kitchen, where does it sort of sit on that scale?
It's probably about the size of your lounge room.
Okay, so it's a bit bigger than, but it's
this whole area here,
probably,
and the other studio and that.
Yes.
So, and that's big enough for you to sort of get it sort of scaled up?
Yeah, because we don't have to do any restaurant service,
right?
So we're all about production and manufacturing. So, but in saying that, we do everything by hand. So we need lots of bench space, and we need obviously larger equipment. So it's easier to work in a bigger area, but it's also
You work by hand, and you obviously have to taste test as you go.
I'm interested. The interesting, why pâté to start with?
Because I grew up with pâté.
You're a lover of pâté,
I grew up with my dad used to make pâté as a family on the weekends. We used to always have family dinners, and that used to be a staple. and then going to Europe, it was just everywhere.
Yeah.
And I have a big love of offal.
Yeah.
I think it's a trade that
wasted.
Not many people get the opportunity to use it every day.
No.
So, and it's now turned into a love and a passion where you just create.
And that's for those that sort of don't necessarily have a love of it, like you, like that's what's needed is somebody that does to try and, you know, share the love and introduce it to the less adventurous out there.
Yeah, I think there's a...
And I put my hand up in that collection.
There's a lot of chefs out there at the moment who are interested in, like, what we call secondary cuts or the lesser parts. Which is happening more and more, which is not making our job much easier because it becomes more expensive.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So...
But it's kind of all part of, you know, I guess being a bit respectful to the animal, really, isn't it?
100%.
Yeah.
So what makes a good pâté? What's the trick?
Very good produce from the very beginning.
Yeah,
Fresh livers.
Yeah.
Like, we get our livers within 24 hours of being slaughtered.
Yeah.
Then we... We go through a small process of marinating, and then it's all just down to the end product, which is the ingredients we use. We grow our own herbs on site so that we have total freshness when it comes to that. We use all local fruit and veg. So really our food miles is very small when it comes to the finished product. And then consistency. So we always make sure that our pâté is made the same way, and our terrines as well.
Does it vary? Does the depending on the produce that comes in, the intensity of flavour, does that vary, or is it pretty standard?
Slightly.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a small variance, but we've made it enough times now, so we can pull it back.
Get it right. Now, you get the ideas of actually growing it. That's another thing of actually making it. Marisa, your job is to then actually sell it. That's the tricky bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get this great idea, but you've got to have an outlet, because I think you'd be sick of pâté by the end of
yeah.
the week if you don't sell it.
Yeah.
So have you got a great network of supporters around?
Yeah. And especially products like pâté and terrines and rillettes, we also make those. It's educating the consumer on what those products are, because a lot of times people just, they don't know and they're a little bit frightened to try. So it's getting out there, doing a lot of tasting.
I was going to say, does that mean sort of getting out there with an apron in the supermarket going, try this?
Yeah.
Yep.
And once they've tried it, they're hooked.
Yeah.
And they love meeting the maker and talking about it, and then they feel that connection.
Mm.
And then it goes from there.
So whereabouts can we get hold of it?
Oh, you can get hold of it in a number of really good IGAs, better food stores, the gourmet food stores. So we sell locally, also in the country areas as well.
Okay.
So on our website we list all the stores.
Do you have a shop front too? Like
no.
No, okay, no. So it's just a kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. And now we're sending over to Melbourne as well. New
Fantastic.
South Wales.
And Brisbane.
That's exciting.
Brisbane.
So little Perth companies now.
And we're still small. We're only a staff of five.
Yeah. Wow.
So next step, have you got grand plans to expand the range, or is it pâté and terrines that's your signature?
we grew quite like we extended our range last year.
Yeah.
So we're going to just focus on that this year. And just really concentrate on the recipes and just getting the distribution network out there. So maybe even international if we can. That's the
long
plan.
Doesn't hurt to plan and dream.
Yeah, definitely.
And local produce is one of the keys. Do you find having fresh produce is your distinctive difference in your market?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. The we have access to so much good stuff now. And there's no excuse why we shouldn't be using locally grown produce, meat, fish, chicken, and vegetables. So it's all out there. And it's really available. It's easy to access. Like we were saying, like 20 years ago, this stuff probably was growing, but no one really took any notice about it. It was either shipped overseas or over east. I mean, I feel pretty privileged to be sending our produce over to Melbourne. You know, like
into Foodie Central. That's
exactly.
Kind of cool, isn't it?
I mean, that was a big step for us. That was only two years ago. And when it first went over there, I just went, oh, this isn't going to work. They're not going to accept us. who accepts WA over in Melbourne? But it's worked, and it's been really nice and really competitive too. Like we're competing against a lot of people over there. Like there's so many charcuterie businesses in Melbourne. which for us is a challenge. It's great.
Keeps you on your toes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Testament of the product, though, isn't it?
It certainly is. Certainly is. So for poached pear, the future is, well, we'll see it around the place. Yeah, see, you find in IGAs.
And the website for poachpear.com.au, that's a good starting point?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. What are you doing for today? Is it back to sort of make more tureens, or are you actually getting some Easter time?
I'm now going into work, yep.
doesn't stop when you work for yourself, do you? No, everyone says it's wonderful, you have lots of choices. The choice is go to work or not
to
pay
honest,
wages.
That is wonderful, being able to have my own decisions to go in to work and then come home when I want.
It's not tough, is it, then?
No, not now.
No.
It was in the beginning, but
not now. But it is. And also our business growing, I imagine. Mm. You know, suddenly it's huge decisions, things that you've never come across before.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all, definitely for me. Like, I've always just done back of house in the kitchen, never done what we do now. So I'm learning how to deal with customers. on the front, I go out and do tastings, so meet the maker tastings, which I actually like. Yeah. I like doing, because it's amazing to see people's reactions when you first tell them what they're eating, and then to watch them go and buy some afterwards. It's really nice.
Yeah. So have you got one of those coming up?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Yeah. Where's the next Meet the Maker tasting?
The next one will be at the Herdsman.
Okay.
Lovely.
Yeah. At what date?
27th. I think Saturday the 27th or 28th, whatever the last day of the month is.
I think it's actually 29th. But
29th, thank
but
you.
But that's okay. I just know there's a date close by, I know when it is.
We'll watch your website and a Facebook page potentially to keep up to date. Poachpear.com.au. Great to have you in. It's always good to talk to people that are very excited and passionate about what they do.
And privileged that you came in, spend the time to come in on Easter Saturday. Well done.
No
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Adam
you.
And Marissa Bilevsky, and Poach Pear is what they do. They're in Bayswater.